The views and opinions expressed on The World in Crisis with John Gasser do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of WJJC Radio, Whisperin' 95.1 FM, any political subdivision, or the United States Navy.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to World in Crisis with John Gasser. I'm co-host Rob Jordan. We are coming to you from the studios of Whisperin' 95.1 FM, WJJC 1270 AM, Whisperin951.com, and WJJC.net. Now, on those last two internet platforms, make sure you check out the locally produced programs page. There you'll find World in Crisis, and there you will find our archives page. There are several of the more recent programs that are archived there for you to listen to at your leisure at no charge, and you get a little bit better idea of where John stands with what's going on in the world and how it relates to Bible prophecy. There's also a place there for you to donate to the ministry if you so choose, remembering that 100% of every dollar goes towards purchasing additional airtime for World in Crisis. We'd also like to welcome our listeners at America's Web Radio out of Atlanta, Georgia, and Leading Edge Radio out of Dallas, Texas. They play the program at different times of the day and different days of the week. So wherever you are and whenever you're listening, welcome to World in Crisis with John Gasser. John?
Well, welcome to World in Crisis. We are privileged to have you with us each week for World in Crisis as we examine God's prophetic word and look for the soon return of our Lord Jesus Christ. Ladies and gentlemen, this world is being prepared for the kingdom of Antichrist, and there is only one way to escape the coming night. That is by faith in the Son of God. And I pray that this night you would receive him into your heart, that you might be saved and pass from death to life and life eternal. Rob?
Yes, you're right there, John. And we want to mention, as we do just about every week, we are the Watchman on the Wall ministry. This is our job. We sit here on the wall or stand here on the wall and blow the horn, warn the people of what's coming, the impending doom. And it is coming. You may want to deny that it's coming, but your denial will not keep it from coming and won't even slow it down. It's coming, and we are here to warn you about it. And once we have warned you, it is up to you to make the choice. And believe me, a choice will be made, either yea or nay, and it will be you who will decide. God doesn't send anybody to hell.
Correct.
You send yourself.
Ladies and gentlemen, you make the choice between heaven and hell.
Yes.
God has done everything to prepare a way of salvation, pouring out his blood on Calvary to pay the eternal price for sin, that through faith in him, you might be saved and spend eternity with the Lord in heaven. You can choose death and spend eternity in hell. But that choice is yours, and that choice is imminent, because this world is on a collision course with the judgment of Almighty God, Rob.
Absolutely right. Now, before we get too deep into the show, John, I want to do the quote of the day. That's always a very popular part of every show, every program.
Seemingly so. And tonight, the quote comes from Ayn Rand from the last century, albeit an atheist. But I thought it was interesting in terms of your opening remarks there, because Ayn Rand once said, quote, "You can deny reality, but you cannot avoid the consequences of denying reality."
And that is absolutely correct, boy. And yeah, it's funny how some of these secular folks, that they know, it's not like they have almost a God knowledge in them, and they can't help but spew it out.
Well, there's a void. Every person is born spiritually dead, and they have a void until they receive the Lord Jesus Christ, so as to be saved and spiritually reborn to the new life. Otherwise, something will fill the void. It might be some sort of idol, cult, materialism, mammon, anything your imagination can conceive. But that void will be there until you receive the Lord Jesus, or until you reject him and you choose eternal damnation. And again, the choice is yours. It is really quite simple. And what is interesting to me is to observe the absolute disconnect from reality in today's world, Rob. The notion that a man can have a baby and all. This is a denial of objective reality. It's hard to get your mind around such things.
You're absolutely right. And speaking of reality, I had an interesting question. This came up over the weekend. So,
okay.
After last Thursday's program, we had some interesting things happen in the financial world, and as a lot of things hinge on economics. A lot of things,
as
we've discussed many times here. But the recent failures of Silicon Valley Bank and Signature Bank. How are they, if they are, first of all, are they related to the end times? And if right. so, how are they? Just as a little bit of a background here, that was the second and third biggest bank failures in the history of the United States.
Indeed.
And you remember we had, when 1929, you had the stock market crash and all the banks failed.
Correct.
And then you had the bubble in like 2008, 2007. And so this is the third largest in the history. I imagine those other two were the top two. But it all started when you had a run on the bank, people trying to take their money out of the bank. Now, why they decided they want to take their money out all of a sudden, I don't know. Maybe they knew something was coming as far as the stock market or something like that.
Right.
But nevertheless, the question was, is this related? And if so, how is it related to the end times?
Sure. Well, first of all, let me set a bit of context. History is linear. There is no such thing as coincidence or happenstance. God declared the end from the beginning and from ancient times the things which are not yet done, quoting the prophet Isaiah. So with that perspective, all of this, everything that you see, is pushing us. As a matter of fact, from the third chapter of Genesis on, the Bible is the story of redemption. It's about God choosing a people to himself, Israel, through which he would reveal his law, himself, his law, his son, and bring about the consummation of the ages. At the end, which is the revelation of Jesus Christ, and he will ascend the throne of David, as I have declared so many times, on Mount Moriah in Jerusalem forever, and no power on earth can stop it. Now, as far as these bank failures are concerned, what I see, if you recall, in the past 6 weeks or so, we had a number of discussions related to things like central bank digital currency
right.
and those types of things. We also discussed how the economic piece would in fact be the central piece of control, not the political, although that is titular, in terms of having Antichrist as its head, but the conquerors and despots throughout history always tried to control the world by force of arms. That was wrong. Ultimately, it will be controlled by the economy of the world, controlling the economy of the world, which will be informed, both the political and economic piece, by Marxist socialism, because it provides the perfect model for ruling elite and everybody else.
Right.
But Antichrist
right.
will call the shots, together with the false prophet. But that ultimately will fail too. It will be a one world political, one world economic, and one world religious system. So what I would say is, I strongly suspicion, based on the facts described in open source information, that this will help set up and push this nation, and not only this nation, it will be worldwide, toward this digital currency, which is programmable and will merge perfectly with a social credit score system where they can control everything that you do. Make no mistake.
I heard something yesterday. They were talking about this story, and I don't remember what number they put on it, but they were talking about these two banks that failed, that these were quote-unquote independent banks. They were not they weren't Citibank or you know
right,
Visa
right.
or any of those other big Chase banks or whatever.
Right.
And that it would probably drive many small banks into
mergers.
They'll be nervous, so they'll sell out basically.
Well, or
and so then instead of having 500 choices, you may have 30 choices, and then you go, it's easier to go from 30 choices to one than it is from 500 to one.
Well, driving mergers,
which
facilitates that one world economic system. Now listen, they're about, as I understand it, there are 12 countries experimenting with this digital currency, and another 100 and about 112 in total looking at it. So
one of them being us,
of course. And so what you see here is the emergence of this one world economic system. But make no mistake, it's an economic control system of control at the end, because you can't buy nor sell unless you participate and take the mark of the beast and worship and or worship his image.
Absolutely right. Well, appreciate our question from our audience, and
absolutely,
we have a very, very well-informed and astute audience, and we encourage you to send in the questions each and every week.
Well, it's interesting that we're seeing such things. It reminds me that the Bible describes a revival of the old Roman Empire, which will be not isolated to the boundaries of the Holy Roman Empire and the Charlemagne, or some notion of 10 nations in Western Europe. That was such an outdated and myopic view of what the Bible describes that I'll just leave it there. In any event, revived Rome will be much bigger and meaner than its predecessor. There are only three spheres of geopolitical power on the end-time world stage as informed by the Bible. There is the West under Antichrist, and I perhaps should say the Western Alliance, more closely defined by NATO. There is a Russian Pan-Arab Alliance, which is neutralized on the mountains of Israel in war with God. And number three are the kings, plural, of the East, which would be China and its hegemony over Southeast Asia, North Korea, and so forth. And that card, as we discussed, I think, in last week's episode or the one before, because we had a question about it, that card will be played at the very end when 200 million march into the Valley of Decision in the Valley of Jezreel, and blood will flow bridle deep to a horse for 100 miles. Now, there are only five world empires described in Scripture. The Babylonian, the Persian,
Egyptian.
The Babylonian, the Persian, Greek, and the Roman.
Yeah.
The revived Roman Empire will be under Antichrist. When Daniel saw Nebuchadnezzar's, or I should say interpreted Nebuchadnezzar's vision, what he saw was the legs of iron represented Rome. Now, it was a divided kingdom, east and west. Constantinople, today Istanbul, and Rome in the west. The feet and toes did not grow together, but the feet and toes, which represents 10, these are 10 economic zones, if you will.
And that's where
these
are
not
now.
10 nations. Say again?
That's where we are now.
And that's where we are now. So what happens is that, as the Bible describes, some are weak, some are brittle, but together they're tough as iron. But they don't cleave to one another. Now, interestingly, because we're going to pick up some UFO discussion here later in the episode, there's a cryptic phrase in Daniel 2 that says there's a semicolon, they will mingle themselves with the seed of men. Now, as Dr. I.D.E. Thomas has pointed out, men is not the antecedent, it is they. Who, pray tell, would they be? Because the word seed there, the seed of men, the Hebrew is zera, S-E-R-A, which means progeny, that is offspring.
Children,
So you begin to hearken back to Genesis 6, and the Nephilim, the B'nai Elohim, who descended on Mount Hermon, 200 of these fallen angels cohabitated with women and so forth. And we have discussed the Genesis 6 incursion, where Satan was actually trying to prevent or corrupt the bloodline of Messiah so that Jesus could not be born. That attempt failed, of course, and it will fail again as he tries to eradicate Israel, for example. And try to make God a liar and perhaps bring him to a draw. But here's the point. We are with, if you want to see the revived Roman Empire, ladies and gentlemen, look out your window.
Yeah, today. Exactly right.
So
exactly.
How can America escape ancient Rome's treacherous path? Actually, it cannot, as a matter of fact. It will degrade, but it will fold into the beast kingdom. Center of this thing will likely, my exegesis is, be New York City. Because when you read Revelation 18, which describes this political and economic system, it centers in the financial capital of the world. But here's the main, here's the smoking gun in many respects. It has to be a port city because it trades by sea.
Right.
And the ships and ships captains set off, and the merchants, and they wail and mourn over this great city which reigned over the kings of the earth. Now, the United Nations sits on the banks of the East River and was envisioned as far back as 1956 and the Treaty of Rome as being the medium or vehicle to world government. So Antichrist will likely headquarter there in New York City. At one point, it was even called New Babylon, for goodness sake. not a coincidence. So what I would submit to you, ladies and gentlemen, that it's here. Now, what Revelation describes is that this revived Roman Empire will be ruled over by a man called Antichrist. And so the great English historian, Edward Gibbon, who wrote The Fall of the Roman Empire.
Yes, sir.
1737-1794, noted in his work on the decline and fall of the Roman Empire that long-lasting oppression will have serious effects. To paraphrase, the minds of men will be gradually reduced to the same low level, that is a generic level.
Right.
The fire of genius will be extinguished, and even the military spirit will evaporate. The industry of the people will be discouraged and exhausted by a long series of oppression. Now, let me summarize. You can break, that's about a, I have it at home, it's about a 6-volume set. Not light reading, I might add. But I'll try to summarize it here. Rome collapsed morally first, then it collapsed economically, and finally militarily. But Rome fell from within, not from without. Ladies and gentlemen, I think we're up against a hard break.
We are up against a hard break. We'll take it. You're listening to World in Crisis with John Gassert. We'll be back right after this. Stay with us. And welcome back to World in Crisis with John Gassert. I'm co-host Rob Jordan. We are coming to you from the studios of Whisper 95.1 FM, WJJC 1270 AM in Commerce. You can also get us worldwide 365 days a year, 24/7. At WJJC.net and Whisperin951.com. Now, on those two internet platforms, make sure you check out the locally produced programs page. There you'll find World in Crisis and our archives. On our archives page, you'll find several of the more recent programs where you can listen to them at your leisure and discover where John is and how he thinks that things that are going on in the world are reflected in Bible prophecy. There's also a place there for you to donate to the ministry if you so choose, remembering that 100% of every dollar goes towards purchasing additional airtime for World in Crisis. We'd also like to welcome our listeners at America's Web Radio out of Atlanta and Leading Edge Radio out of Dallas, Texas. They play the program at different times of the day and different days of the week. So wherever you are and whenever you're listening, welcome to World in Crisis. Now, before we took the break, John, you were talking about the fall of the Roman Empire, and I just kind of noticed something that you said. It just kind of flashed in my mind. The writer of the history there was telling about how you basically dumb down the population, or it gets dumbed down through whatever genetics or whatever the deal is. But I remember a disclaimer in recent years here in the United States where they talk about American exceptionalism no longer exists. So right. You want everybody to be the same. Would you agree that that's kind of correlating there?
Well, what I would agree is that it's absolutely Marxist ideology. That's the whole notion of this equity business. They're not looking for equal opportunity. They're looking for equal outcome. That is absolutely Marxist socialist ideology at work. It's permeated throughout all this critical race theory and all that kind of business. The gospel of social justice, it is permeated with Marxist ideology. Let me advise you, it is a gospel which will not save you. You will end up in a devil's hell by adherence to such things. It's absolutely heretical. Now, the historian William Henry Chamberlain, 1897-1969, added that the twin evils of limitless bureaucracy and extortionate taxation took hold of the empire and rendered as its product a soft, idle citizenry, much like America today.
Yes.
Interesting observation, you see. The Roman populace was no longer in a mood to fight for its constitutional liberties. Lulled to sleep by the time-honored method of panem et circenses, that's bread and circuses.
Yes.
sustenance and entertainment provided by the government to appease public discontent. So long as it received free food at public expense and elaborate games and spectacles, it ceased to concern itself with public affairs.
Yeah.
And once you dumb down the education system.
Keep my belly full and my mind entertained.
Precisely correct. Private initiative disappeared. More and more, the all-powerful imperial government was expected to look after everyone and attend to everything. One may be sure that the founding fathers of the American Republic understood these concepts. If they were alive today, I would suspicion they would be scared to death at what
yes,
they saw.
Yeah, absolutely. They would be petrified.
Right, because it's reflective of ancient Rome, notably the willingness to sell out individual rights and freedom and local autonomy for some mess of centralized status pottage. Now, I think I failed to mention when we were discussing the world empires, the Persian, the Babylonian, the Greek, and the Roman, and then the final revived Roman Empire under Antichrist, four of those have come and gone in antiquity.
Yeah, they're already history. As
it's been 2,000 years since Rome fell. Or close to it. For most of the founding fathers were among the most learned men of their time. The Federalist Papers preserve letters of Jefferson and Adams, Franklin and Madison, and they're full of references to the events and developments of classical times and to the lessons which should be drawn from those happenings of the past. Perhaps the most impressive of these lessons is the fatal folly of letting all power become centralized in a state authority, a single state authority.
Now, Jefferson warned about that.
Absolutely. As a matter of fact, Jefferson wrote in 1821 that when all power in great and small things, domestic and foreign, centers in Washington, D.C., he said that government will become more venal and oppressive from the one than the one from which we are separated. Now, don't think that was lost on Lee and the boys. As a matter of fact, we have discussed this several years ago. I would submit, because I studied history, I was a history major until I changed the business. But in any event, I could just about biblically, as what's described in Scripture, I could just about trace a demarcation to 1861 in the United States. Because the war between the states, sometimes, or the war for Southern independence. Remember, the Southern states did not try the victors write history. It was not a civil war.
No,
by
it was
definition.
Not. They were not trying to overthrow the government of the United States.
Correct. A civil war is where a faction tries to overthrow the established government.
It almost mirrored and paralleled the American Revolution. The Americans were not looking to overthrow England. They were looking to separate from England.
Well, there's no almost to it. It was precisely the same. They seceded and formed their own government. They did not try to overthrow the government in Washington. Now, the issue of states' rights and so forth, certainly slavery was abhorrent and a national sin, but that infected the country from almost its inception. And by the way, I don't know a lot of people. There were white slaves as well as
oh,
black
yes.
slaves.
Oh, yes. Yes, indentured servitude
was huge. Better go back and study some actual history. In any event, if that was the only – in fact, my son took a history course, and the professor said that slavery was the only issue in the, quote, Civil War. Well, that is an absolute lie.
It's a lie.
That's an absolute lie. As a matter of fact, this whole concept of centralized power scared them to death. Therefore, the notion of the 10th Amendment and states' rights. The powers, if you read the Constitution, the Constitution was written not to limit the power of the people, but to limit the power of the federal government.
Yes.
You see.
They would have never gotten the Constitution passed had it not been for the 10th Amendment.
Correct.
There is no way.
And the second.
Yes.
But free speech, the Second Amendment guarantees the first.
Right. And the 10th supposedly guaranteed the states' rights, which have been trampled upon.
If you didn't have the Second Amendment, you can forget the other nine.
Yeah.
I can just tell you from a history standpoint. Ladies and gentlemen, never surrender your guns. If you want a modern object lesson, Argentina disarmed the populace in 2016, and in 2019, the army fired on its own citizens. That's what you get. So, you know, as far back as the Greek Republic, the difference between a free man and a slave was that a free man could own a sword.
Correct.
So this is not a new concept, ladies and gentlemen. Freedom is not a human construct. It proceeds from the mind of God. Freedom and forgiveness are tied together. In case you didn't know that, I may touch on that in closing thoughts.
Okay.
But in any event, we go back. Slavery was a national sin, should have been ended, should not even have begun. But they don't tell you that there was never a slave ship chartered from a southern port. It was all New York and Boston. So there was plenty of
blame
and evil to go around. They all had their fingers into it in one way or another. But if that was the only issue, why were the slaves not freed in 1861 instead of 1863? That might be something to ponder.
And why were in 1863, why was it only the slaves in the rebelling states that
correct
were free?
Well, and go read Lincoln's first inaugural address. It doesn't help the argument, but I digress. So what we're talking about here is that, and certainly four southern states were floating about 50% of the federal budget. So you can always follow the money, ladies and gentlemen. There was a Prussian tactician by the name of Clausewitz who once observed that war is the prosecution of economic policy by other means. There are always economic drivers to war. I don't care how altruistic or, quote, noble the motives, there are always economic drivers. So in 1865, let's just follow this briefly. In 1865, the Federals won. Power, in fact, centered in Washington, D.C. Along came the second part of the Industrial Revolution, and then the kiss of death, perhaps, for this great republic, the Woodrow Wilson administration. Now, that is instructive in many respects. It is an object lesson on how to jumpstart tyranny, because during the Wilson administration, Rockefeller and the other traitors met at Jekyll Island and crafted in the Federal Reserve Act, which was passed in the dead of night. Then they passed so-called the progressive income tax, which was only going to be 1%, and that on the wealthiest Americans.
And it was only going to be for a certain time, too.
Correct. Well, that story is now history. But so you had the Federal Reserve, which was neither federal nor was it a reserve. This is a system of privately held banks, folks. The Federal Reserve Bank of New York sets the tone for the rest in terms of monetary policy. And so those banks are privately held. The Rockefeller family owns controlling interest in the Federal Reserve Bank of New York, in case you didn't know. So the Fed now, listen, this is a Ponzi scheme out of this world, folks.
Yeah. Madoff would be proud.
Well, Congress abdicated the coinage. And so now what you have are private banks which create money out of absolute vapor, out of nothing. They loan it to the federal government at interest and get repaid. Now, that is an alchemist's dream,
that's great,
my friend.
I wish I could do that.
I wish I could do that. But you better follow the money. Is the point. Now,
always.
Lord Acton once observed that power corrupts and absolute power corrupts absolutely. The framers understood the dangers of centralized power. That's why we have bicameral legislatures. That's why we have separation of powers within the three branches of government. Now, the Constitution was written for three primary reasons. Can you name them, Rob? This is a test question.
Test question?
Test question.
Constitution, protect the rights of the individual over the state.
Okay.
The states over the feds, and I don't know the last one.
Okay. Number one was to provide for the common defense.
Okay.
Number two was to regulate commerce so that all the states were operating basically on the same set of rules.
Right.
It didn't create log jams and supply chain issues,
right,
you will.
Right.
And number three, to establish the judiciary. Those were the three primary reasons for Constitution, you see. But, in fact, what happened was, during the Wilson administration, so we had the Federal Reserve Act passed in the dead of night. We had the so-called progressive, that's red, Marxist income tax, redistribution of wealth. Just as wicked was when they amended the Constitution to provide that senators would be popularly elected.
That right there was one of the keys, boy.
Well, they hung a for sale sign on the door. For further information, tune in to the 6 o'clock news. So, the original intent prior to 1915, the senators were appointed by the state legislature.
Correct.
The House was popularly elected. That is, there's your check and balance, you see, that the people's House and the senators would look after the interests of the states. When they changed that to be popularly elected, now they're on the take from everybody, including the Ukraine.
I remember when Herman Talmadge was caught with this, and this is back in the 70s. He was caught with $50,000 in cash in his overcoat.
Actually, his dry cleaner found it.
Yeah, and I heard with my own ears people talking about it, said, well, he's a crook. I said, yeah, but he's our crook.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. And his daddy was one, too.
Yeah, exactly.
Gene. And in fact, my daddy, when I was growing up, he used to like to tell the story because he was a big – my parents were Democrats, a big Talmadge fan, Richard Russell, all those folks.
Oh, yeah.
He was talking about how Gene Talmadge would be stumping the state. He'd sit with overalls on nail kegs and stuff outside country stores. And these old boys said, Gene, tell us how you stole that money. He said, yeah, he said, I stole it. He said, but I stole it for you boys. And they would eat it up. As Solomon wrote in Ecclesiastes, there's nothing new under the sun. But I can tell you this. Watch a politician, because when his lips are moving, he's probably lying to you. But just as importantly, follow the money. I worked white-collar investigations at one point, and that was the central precept, is follow the money. You got to wonder about a fella that spends millions to get a job, pays $174,000 a year.
Correct.
And then they retire as multimillionaires, 6-8 years later or whatever it is.
The numbers don't balance.
No. That would be a huge flag, I would tell you. But in any event, I guess I have digressed. But the point here is that centralized power is dangerous as the infernal regions, but that is precisely what is described in Revelation 13, because the Antichrist will be given authority over every nation and tribe and people and tongue, and all will worship the beast. Everyone on the face of this earth whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb, slain from the foundation of the world. If anyone has an ear, let him hear. Now, there will be people who come to faith, but they will be hunted down and martyred for that faith, and as Revelation 20 describes, beheaded for the witness of Jesus we're up against a hard break.
We are. We'll take it right now. You're listening to World in Crisis with John Gassert. We'll be back after this. Stay with us. And welcome back to World in Crisis with John Gassert. I'm co-host Rob Jordan. We are coming to you from Commerce, Georgia, the studios of Whispering 95.1 FM, WJJC 1270 AM. You can also get us 365 days a year, 24 hours a day, at WJJC.net and Whispering951.com. Also, we'd like to welcome our listeners at America's Web Radio out of Atlanta, Georgia, and Leading Edge Radio out of Dallas, Texas. Those two platforms play it at different times of the day and different days of the week. So wherever you are and whenever you're listening, welcome to World in Crisis with John Gassert. John?
Well, ladies and gentlemen, I guess I should have noted at the close of the last segment that Will Rogers once observed that we have the best politicians money can buy. And I don't think anything has changed since the 1920s. Canadian classical scholar W.G. Hardy, 1895-1979, commented that the political freedom in the Roman Empire was tossed away in the interest of peace, security, and materialism. There was the canker of slavery and the equally dangerous practice of keeping a segment of the population permanently on the public dole. Now, interestingly, the Bible declares, as Paul writes, when they say peace and safety, sudden destruction will come upon them like travail upon a woman with child. Now, interestingly, and as I have explained a number of times over the years, Marxist socialist and communist systems, listen very carefully, ladies and gentlemen, Marxist socialist and communist systems can only survive in a society where A, the populace has been disarmed, and B, you have a permanent dependent underclass. And that is precisely what is coming under Antichrist.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
All righty then. So John Mordecai Podhortz wrote a recent article in the New York Post entitled Biden's Base, Why He Won't End the COVID Emergency for Months. And it brings Gibbon to mind. Unnecessary and high-handed extension of an emergency that is no longer an emergency comes down to oppression and subjugation. It once again illustrates America's regression from a republic to an empire, a process that's been going on for at least 50 years, and I would submit 158 years, at least since 1865. It closely resembles Rome's path from glory to downfall and collapse about 400 AD. And, of course, he wrote why they extended the thing for 3 months after it was declared over.
Yeah.
It should be a mystery, but it's not.
It's money.
No, the answer is simple. It's not about an emergency, and it hadn't been for more than a year. This is about people who have actually gained things from the emergency. You can sit your rear end at home and get a check.
Exactly.
They need to be weaned off the unhealthy and society-killing benefits reaped since March of 20. By the way, I don't know if anybody has observed, you just about can't beat folks to work today.
No. Go into any store. I challenge you to find a store that doesn't have a hiring sign in the window.
Correct. Now hiring. There are all kinds of signs up in Cobb County and Marietta Parkway, all that stuff. Yeah, sure. They're trying to get a soft landing, and particularly as it relates to government worker constituents, many of them toiling from home. Right. I don't think most of those folks done a hard day's work in their life. But anyway, they've been some of the true beneficiaries of changes in the workplace and not the people for whom they work, namely us. So in relation to the exhaustion and discouragement of the American people, we only have to point at the most recent COVID coup featuring Dr. Science Fauci, big pharma, big tech, television network executives, government bureaucrats, blue state politicians, and assorted zealots and would-be despots who have wanted to carve out a enclave of power for themselves, you see. And, sadly, Trump caved to the advice.
Oh, yes, he did.
He absolutely did. As early as March 20, we began to suspect something was not quite right with the COVID rampage. Up to now, Trump's most compelling reason for re-election to a large segment was a bustling economy. They had to take it down.
Yes, sir.
And it is my personal belief that the release of the virus from the Wuhan lab in China was intentional. The Chinese intended to release that. It was actually an act of war in my mind.
And even if they didn't intend to release it, once it came out into the public in China, they locked down China, but then allowed people to travel from China all over the world to spread it.
Never let a good crisis go to waste.
Exactly.
See, this was effectively leveraged. Now, what is interesting, I read an article the other day. I probably should have copied it for the show. But what it highlighted was, and I believe it was the Moderna CEO, told staff in 2019 to prepare for a pandemic. They had made 100,000 doses of vaccine. He said, we need to make 1 billion doses next year. So something was afoot.
They knew.
You begin to smell like a manufactured crisis.
Yes, it does.
Is what it begins to smell like. So could we imagine the crescendo of absolutist things to come? School closings, family businesses ruined, contrived mass gimmicks, compulsory vaccinations, forced military jabs, banned travel internationally, loved ones dying alone in sterile hospitals, all accomplished by design, evidently through tainted, shoddy, and financially politicized science, so-called science.
Yeah,
America's backsliding and abandonment of faith will continue unless Christendom comes alive and becomes conversant in the prime denominations of political currency, which are how many votes can you bring to the table and how much money can you bring that brings the votes to the table. Moreover, doubling down, but ladies and gentlemen, you can forget all that. Politics will not save you. A savior will not arrive on Air Force One nor at the ballot box. Only Jesus Christ can save you.
Correct.
This is a one-way street, ladies and gentlemen. History is linear. We are not going back. The events described in the Bible are happening right before your eyes, and this will not slow down. I would set that demarcation at 14 May 1948, and since that time, we have seen the escalation. And in fact, now, Bible prophecy is being fulfilled at a breathtaking rate. And the process of birth pangs described by Jesus Christ, of course, has a mathematical relationship. It is not arithmetic. It is geometric. And so you think you have time, but we are decidedly out of time, Rob.
Yes, we are. And that's what we're here for. As we tell you every week, we're out of time. And we're not out of time on this broadcast, so you've got time to continue there, John.
Well, this is a bit of information to keep in mind. 10 rules of propaganda, which I thought was interesting.
Did Goebbels come up with this?
well, when you consider the dates, Lord Arthur Ponsonby was a British diplomat and politician, 1871 to 1946.
Okay.
He was the one that authored these rules, which I find fascinating because they're just as relevant today as they were over 100 years ago. The astute Lord Ponsonby pinpointed 10 rules of propaganda. In the Cold War, we call this stuff PSYOPs, psychological mm-hmm. warfare, which still exists today, only under different rubrics. Number one, we don't want war. We're only defending ourselves. What a way to beat the drums.
Yes.
You say. Two, the other guy is solely responsible for this war.
Yeah, he did it, not me.
Yes.
Like two-year-olds fighting over a toy or who spilled the juice on the floor.
That's right. Number three, our adversary's leader is evil and looks evil. this would be perhaps related to the politics of personal destruction, sometimes called cancel culture today.
I think.
That's the modern version.
Yes.
Number four, we are defending a noble purpose, not special interest. Well, you can always look for that to be a lie.
Anybody says that is just a bald-faced liar.
Well, remember I quoted Clausewitz?
Yes.
There are always economic drivers to war.
Always.
Always. Follow the money, ladies and gentlemen. Number five, the enemy is purposefully causing atrocities. We only commit mistakes. The thing is, this is just as relevant today as it was when this was penned.
Oh, that's funny.
Number six, the enemy is using unlawful weapons.
All right. Yeah.
Seven, we have very little losses. The enemy is losing big. As I recall, one historian wrote that truth is the first casualty of war.
Yes, absolutely.
And I think that may have been reiterated by Napoleon Bonaparte. In any event, number eight, intellectuals and artists support our cause. Well, isn't it? It would be comforting to know that the elite support this mayhem and war.
Hollywood supports me.
Something like that. I remember in the movie Shenandoah, Jimmy Stewart, of course, tear-jerking movie.
He was a great actor.
Right. But at the end, he's also a brigadier general in the Air Force. I don't know if you know. He flew combat missions in World War II.
Yes, he did.
But in any event, and I guess I digress again, but in that movie, toward the end of the movie, and he was at his wife's grave, and I think he may have been talking to somebody. He says, well, war is like all wars. Politicians talk about the glories of it, but the undertakers are winning it, you see.
Good
and
point.
And the soldiers, they just want to go home. So, number nine, our cause is sacred. In other words, you establish religious ties.
Oh, yeah.
To the war.
Yeah.
And number 10, those who doubt our propaganda are traitors.
Well, if you don't go along with me, you're an enemy of the state.
Well, let me ask you this. How much effort has been put into censorship lately and silencing any dissent?
Absolutely.
If you're not lockstep with the leftist, Marxist, socialist narrative, then you need to, but you can't have a job.
It's like you were talking about a while ago, the cancel culture. It's the same
thing.
Right.
You need to be destroyed. You need to be silenced. That's not what the Constitution said.
They don't want you silenced. They want you killed.
Precisely correct. Well, that's the that would be the end game. And that, ladies and gentlemen, is precisely what will happen under Antichrist. There will be no dissent, and there will be no discussion of Jesus Christ or the Bible. I suspect possession of a Bible or such comments, of course, based on Scripture, would cause a death sentence.
Yeah, it'd be a capital offense.
Absolutely. As Jesus declared, you have to be faithful unto death during that period of time because you are back under the economy of law. Now, I know we're running out of time. I had promised, I had really wanted to do an entire segment on the UFO phenomena. I'm going to give you another quote or two, but understand that this is an exceedingly dangerous deception. This is demonic. These are entities coming out of dimensional portals. They are interdimensional beings, and they are manifesting themselves in the physical world today for the purposes of deception.
Correct.
G.H. Pember, who wrote Earth's Earliest Ages and their connection with modern spiritualism and theosophy, 1876.
Woo!
The, quote, the occultist is brought into intelligent communication with the spirits of the air and can receive any knowledge which they possess or any false impression they choose to impart. The demons seem permitted to do various wonders at their request. Now, what is interesting, as Paul described to the Thessalonican church in 2 Thessalonians 2, that the coming of the lawless one would be with all the activity of Satan and with all power and signs and lying wonders, you see.
Right.
And in the 21st chapter of Luke, we find that there will be signs in the sun and the moon and the stars, that the powers of heaven will be shaken, that men's hearts will be failing them for fear at the expectation of those things which are coming upon the world. Judgment is about to come upon the world, ladies and gentlemen, and you only have one mode of escape, and that is up. If you do not know the Lord Jesus as your Savior, you will be left behind when the trumpet blows, and you will have to endure 7 years of the worst period of judgment and horror that this world has ever seen. Antichrist will embody the worst of all the dictators and despots and conquerors of history. This man will make those boys look like choir boys,
yes,
by comparison. It will be a time of death and destruction such as this world has never, ever seen.
Or even contemplated.
Regardless of any war fought through the ages.
Yes.
Ladies and gentlemen, there is only one way to escape. Now, since he is wiggling and beginning to flail, I suppose we're time for final thought?
Yeah, it's time for our final thought, yeah.
Very well. And next week, ladies and gentlemen, I'll try to pick that up. Also, I didn't get into the Pool of Siloam. That is important because they use water from there in a purification process with the ashes of the red heifer to purify Levitical priests, the Kohanim. But for this evening, my final thought comes from Luke 4, chapter 18th verse. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised. Now, the word here for deliverance and for liberty is both the same in Greek, aphesis. That is, the Greek word aphesis means forgiveness. But in this particular verse, it is translated as both deliverance and liberty. I mentioned this earlier in this episode. Isn't it interesting that the deliverance and liberty are directly tied with forgiveness? One of the most effective tools that Satan uses is to steal our joy by unforgiveness. Just a little of it and a foothold in our lives can easily result in chains of bitterness, resentment, anger, and rage. So if we let that foothold linger without dealing with it, it will eventually cause your self-destruction.
Yes, sir.
Hate will eat you up, ladies and gentlemen, and that is literal. There's
from
even some medical science
out.
Of that. I understand it could even cause cancer advanced stages. So, ladies and gentlemen, he is the only way. The Lord Jesus Christ is the only one who could pay the eternal penalty for sin. I plead with you, I beg you, this very night, that you would receive him into your heart, that you would confess the Lord Jesus with your mouth and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, that you might be saved and pass from death to life and life eternal. I beg you to choose life and not death. May the Lord richly bless you.
And for John Gassert, I'm Rob Jordan. Until next time, thanks for listening.